I drink your milkshake.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
This is Remember That Film, the show which covers a look back on memories, nostalgia, and behind-the-scenes facts that you may not have known about your favourite films.
Hello and welcome to Remember That Film right here on at 2MCE. I am Adam. Well, it's October and it's Friday the 13th today, so that means we're in that Halloween mood to talk about horror or scary movies. And it's been the 50th anniversary of The Exorcist that came out in Ultra HD, and I've watched it recently, so it's all fresh in my mind. Well, The Exorcist, it caused a stir when it opened in 24 theatres in the United States and Canada in late December 1973. The story of a 12-year-old girl possessed by a demon included some of the most controversial scenes in horror history. At the time, audiences had never seen a movie like it. Audiences' reactions even made headlines. Some fainted during the movie and others left the theatres in tears. Directed by William Friedkin, who we've only just lately lost this year, and produced and written for the screen by William Peter Blatty, The Exorcist set for the bar highs for horror, besides topping most scariest films of all time lists since its release. It was also the first horror movie to be nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards, taking home the honours for Best Screenplay. Shock value aside, the story was original for its time, including a strong cast of compelling three-dimensional characters. The Washington Post published a story in 1949 about an exorcism performed by one of the adolescent boys called Roland Doe. Blatty based his book on its diaries kept by the two priests who performed an exorcism. The supposedly true tale of demonic possession centers around a 13-year-old boy. They lived in a suburb at Washington, D.C. during the late 40s. Shortly after Roland's aunt Harriet passed away, he began experiencing paranormal phenomena in his bedroom. Walter dripped from the pipes and walls. He heard scratching noises from the walls and floors, and his mattress moved. He reportedly had a close relationship with his aunt, who was a spiritualist. She taught Roland about spiritism, especially Ouija boards. A non-fiction book based by this called Possessed, The True Story of the Exorcism by Thomas B. Allen was published in 1993. Some of the details of the priests around, including the bed moving, scratches appearing on Roland's skin, Roland's voice changing mostly at night, screaming in violent outbursts, and objects flying around the room. Roland reacted violently and the religious objects. The activity escalated by a point where Ronald was moved to Alexian Brothers Hospital in St. Louis. The McNeil house burned down. Everything was destroyed except Reagan's bedroom. The cause was never determined. There was no arson or electrical problems detected. There are also 9 deaths associated with the film, including 2 actors whose characters die in the film. Jack McGowan, who played Burke Dennings, and Valiscus Maluritsis, who played Damien Carrez's mother, an elderly priest. An elderly priest gave Jason Miller's medal to protect him. That priest died a few days later. While the film's Academy Award nominations were really good, The Exorcist 2 is considered one of the worst movies of all time. Written by William Goddard and directed by John Bowman, the story picks up 4 years later after the original Reagan McNeil. Linda Blair, now she was 16 at the time, is undergoing psychological therapy because of the experience during the exorcism. And then in 1990, The Exorcist 3 came out, which was a lot better and very underrated film, based on William Peter Blatty's novel Legions. So it was originally going to be called Legions. Blatty, he then directed and wrote that movie as well. So, some behind-the-scenes stuff on The Exorcist is quite crazy as well. As I already mentioned, there was a few deaths that happened during the film and the whole set burning down. So we will get into that. And we also have some tracks from horror movies today, being October Friday the 13th. That and the Exorcist soundtrack, well, it's okay, but you don't really need to hear about 40 minutes worth of that. But there was one mainstream track that was actually used in there, an instrumental, Mike Oldfield's Tubular Bells.
Thank you. the date, what year?
What movies were released on the week and year that it was at the box office?
Well, back in 1973, they weren't quite reporting on the box office right there, so I'll just put a list here of some of the big movies that were out in 1973. Badlands, that was a Terrence Malick masterpiece. Terrence Malick, a very underrated director because he's more of an artist more than anything, stuff like The Thin Red Line and The Tree of Life. But Badlands was one of his very early movies. Paper Moon, a lot of people forget about that. That was 50 years ago as well. In 1973, The Sting, a classic heist movie that had some great actors in there like Paul Newman, Robert Redford, and Robert Shaw as well, just to name a few. The Castle of Purity, The Day for the Night, World on Wire, The Spirit of the Beehive was a big movie in 1973. Papertine, that was Don Gordon, who wrote that film, and Franklin J. Scaffell. Steve McQueen starred in that movie, was the big star. Serpico, that was the big Al Pacino, one of his big films before he started overacting in the 70s. He had some huge movies there with Serpico and, of course, Godfather and Dog Day Afternoon. The early Al Pacino stuff I really, really like. American Graffiti, George Lucas, yes, he did movies before he did Star Wars. And American Graffiti also had Harrison Ford, a very young Harrison Ford, who wasn't even known at the time, appeared in that movie as well. And The Holy Mountain, The Crazies, and another horror film that came out that year, The Wicker Man, the original version with Edward Woodward, Christopher Lee, who's great at playing the bad guy in horror films. So, yeah, just quite a select few there of some of the best movies around in 1973. Now we're going to play some tracks from horror films now for October the Friday, the 13th, as it is today. And back to The Thing. A great movie, John Carpenter, a director of that movie, and Superstition, it's Stevie Wonder. We'll be right back. You'll remember that film right here on at 2MCE, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds of Red Right Hand from the Scream soundtrack back in 1996, directed by Wes Craven. Sort of done as a parody to horror and a homage to horror itself, but also very well done and does have its scare tactics, particularly in the first 15 minutes with Drew Barrymore. We're going to do behind the scenes of The Exorcist very, very shortly, but to take us until there, something pretty creepy from 1980, the Stephen King book. He wasn't really happy with the film when it came out, but Stanley Kubrick directed it. That is The Shining. And this is Al Bowdy and Ray Noble with A Midnight, The Stars Shine on You.
Let's now get behind the scenes.
It's time to get behind the scenes from The Exorcist from 1973. And let me tell you, there's some crazy stuff that happened with this movie back then. I already touched on a little bit of stuff that happened earlier. But to Stanley Kubrick, he was originally tapped to direct it, but turned it down. It was all for William Peter Blatty, who specifically wanted Friedkin to direct. Blatty even fought with studio executives about it. Executives finally gave it a chance after watching Friedkin's film The French Connection 2 years earlier. There are several well-known actors who wanted to play Father Damien Karras, including Jack Nicholson and Paul Newman. Friedkin didn't want to go with a famous name. Friedkin knew about Miller because he's seen in winning a play that he wrote, The Championship Season, 1972. Marlon Brando reportedly wanted the role of Father Merrin. Again, Dreykin decided to go with a lesser-known actor. Casting the role of a 12-year-old Regan McNeil was a challenge. Was first considered older actress around 15 to 16 years old in a 2018 interview. But he told NPR that he felt that the experience of doing this film would have damaged most of those young girls. Threkling was about to give up on making a movie when Linda Blair showed up with her mother, without an appointment. He described Blair as a well-adjusted, she was a straight-A student in Westport, and she was a totally together young girl. Linda Blair received death threats from religious groups. The consensus among those fanatics were that Blair's performance glorified Satan as a result. Warner Brothers hired bodyguards to protect her. Max von Schneik, who played the elderly father Marin, was only 44 years old and wore extensive makeup to play the role. Yeah, you would swear he was in his 80s. Mercedes Macabridge provided the demonic voice. To make her voice sound so gritty and growly as possible, she maintained a diet of raw eggs and whiskey and chain-smoking. Ugh! During her voice work, she was also restrained like Linda Blair in her possessive scenes. Ugh! It just makes me feel a little ill. The famous vomit scene only took one take to complete. Miller's disgust when he was hit square in the face with a pea soup vomit satisfied Friedkin on the first take. The set was freezing cold. The crew kept Reagan's bedroom refrigerated to make sure to capture the actor's icy breath on camera. The technology didn't exist in the time to make it artificial effect. Ellen Burstyn injured her back during a scene where she falls to the floor in the bedroom. Friedkin ignored the injury. He continued to film because of the extremely painful expression on Burstyn's face. She yelled for him to turn the expletive camera off. Burstyn said, "My dear friend Billy Friedkin is a maniac. I love him, but he's a maniac." You can never get away with this stuff today. William O'Malley, a real-life priest, plays Father Dreyer in the film. Friedkin slapped O'Malley because he didn't like his performance in one scene. Specifically, it was a scene where he's giving Damien Carice a last rites. O'Malley said that his shaking hands in that scene weren't an act. Once again, never get away with that today. The demon possessing Reagan in the movie isn't actually Satan. The demon in the film is called Pazuzu, who was the king of wind demons, a mythology. Jason Miller had a major verbal confrontation with William Friedkin after the director fired the gun near his ear to get an authentic reaction from him. He told Friedkin he was an actor and he didn't need a gun to act surprised or startled. Yeah, there is a scene in there where he's listening to the voices backwards and the phone rings and he jumps, and that's when effect was used to fire the gun. Linda Blair also really injured her vertebrae on some of the bed scenes with the shaking back and forth. She really did have permanent injuries there too, as well. And when she's screaming, "It burns, it burns," she really is saying it burns, and it hurts. So that was Linda Blair as well. And I mentioned at the top there how there was several actors' deaths as well and how the set burnt down a set for Reagan's room. So it is amazing. This movie and Poltergeist are two movies that were completely cursed offset. Titanic was another one. All these movies had a lot of cursed and strange, wacky things that happen offset. But in the end, all those movies, these turned out to be masterpieces. Back to some music now for October, Friday the 13th, from The Lost Boys, The Doors, People Are Strange.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange,
when you're strange, when you're strange.
Called Goodbye Horses.
He told me I seen you rise, but it always falls. I seen him come, I seen him go. He said all things pass in.
Remember that film right here on 2MCE playing some tracks from horror movies for October the 13th. It's also Friday the 13th as well in October, which is there's a thing called going around called Hooptober, which means watching 31 horror movies on 31 days of October. No, I haven't got around to that because there's a thing called time you need in life these days. But some music there, The Lazarus Goodbye, Heroes from the Silence of the Lambs. Not really a horror film, more of a suspenseful mystery film from 1991. And You're the Doors, People Are Strange from the Lost Boys soundtrack, the vampire movie. Now we go to something that kind of isn't really a horror film as well. I guess it's another sort of in that Silence of the Lambs category of thriller. I guess it does have some has a lot more violence in it more than horror, and that's American Psycho, Christian Bale, and a big track in that is Huey Lewis and the News, Hip to Be Square.
I couldn't take punishment.
Huey Lewis in the news, hit to be square from the American Psycho soundtrack, starting to round off the October throw date, the 13th, this afternoon for the horror month of movies. Well, a couple more weeks, we'll talk some more horror movies for the next couple of weeks and feature a couple of films as well. For now, an interview with the Vampire soundtrack now. It's the Rolling Stones and Sympathy for the Devil.
You is the nature of my